This podcast is brought to you by Gainbridge. Gainbridge offers annuities designed for the digital age, simplified products with guaranteed returns that you can buy online. Learn more at gainbridge.life/WSJ. Not available in all states.
With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. If you're one of the growing number of Americans with a side job, you should know the tax advantages that come with a gig. We'll have more on this in a moment. First, here are some money headlines. There have long been calls to raise the federal minimum wage, which has been at $7.25 an hour since 2009. But economists surveyed by The Wall Street Journal expect that raising the federal minimum wage, even by a relatively small amount, would lead to job losses. About a third of business and financial economists surveyed in the past week as part of the journal's monthly poll said an hourly minimum wage above the current level of $7.25 an hour but below $10 would cause job losses. Some 26% said employers would start to cut payrolls in the $10.01 to $13 range. Still, the average appropriate level of the minimum wage among the economists who favor one was $10.83 an hour, significantly higher than the level today. Just over half of respondents said a higher minimum wage would hurt lower-income households by reducing employment. Just under a third of survey respondents said there shouldn't be a minimum wage at all. The number of Americans filing applications for new unemployment benefits fell last week to the lowest level since October 1969. The Labor Department said initial jobless claims declined by 8,000 to a seasonally adjusted 196,000 in the week ended April 6th. After a blockbuster 2018, the labor market showed signs of cooling earlier this year. Jobless claims rose steadily between September and late January when they reached 244,000, while jobs growth stalled in February. Since then, however, the data on claims and hiring have firmed. Coming up, J.R. Whalen talks with tax attorney Mark Kohler on tax breaks available to people with side hustles.
This episode is supported by Gainbridge, high-rate, low-fuss annuities. Annuities get a bad rap. Some think they're too conservative, too complex, or only for retirees. But when you strip away the bells and whistles, annuities can be a smart choice for steady growth. Gainbridge aims to change the game by offering simplified annuities in a sleek, digital experience, replacing fine print and phone tag with clear conditions and a direct, low-fee model. Buy online at gainbridge.life/WSJ. Not available in all states.
It's not unusual to have a full-time job and then have a job on the side, but if you do, it's important to know tax benefits and deductions available to you. Knowing them could save you a lot of money. And accountant and tax attorney Mark Kohler is on the line with us with some details. So Mark, is it true that deductions available related to someone's side job are there and they're different from their primary job?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really an exciting opportunity. I know I sound like a geek saying that. tax savings is fun, is exciting, but it really is important to understand the opportunity you have here. One in three Americans, it's estimated now, have a side gig, some sort of side business, side income, and the write-offs related to that you can't even touch with it as a W-2 wage earner. So these are really, really important.
You prepare taxes for lots of people with side jobs, namely rideshare drivers, because of all the deductions you can rack up for them. What are some of the deductions that people with side jobs have available to them?
Of course, we want to look at the type of business it is, because that's going to really dictate the type of write-offs you're going to have. If you're maybe a small little construction business on the side or a service business, tools and equipment and auto deductions will probably be a little more typical, or versus someone that has an online business where they might have internet ads and internet expenses and software and things like that. So in general, we want to look at what type of business you have, but there's always the core write-offs I love. I want to do home office. I want to do cell phone and cell phone services, electronics. I want to do auto whenever you jump in your car to drive anywhere to meet a customer, client, pick up supplies. And then I want to be thinking about travel and even meals when I'm out talking business with others. People, this side gig, this is the big important takeaway, JR. It is a side business. It is just as legit as Microsoft or AT&T. It's just a microcosm in your world. And so you want to treat it like a business and think of the expenses you have to make money. Those are a write-off.
And I guess anything that would promote your business, also your side business, that is, such as stationery, postage, maybe business cards, things like that?
Oh, I love it. Advertising. Just, and I alluded to that, if you have an internet business, and frankly, any business now is going to have some sort of internet presence because you want to have a landing page at the bare minimum, but you might even have a shopping cart. You might be doing some social media, some advertising on Google Ads or even Facebook ads. And then just traditional marketing expenses, business cards, flyers. You might be sponsoring a little league team or a little soccer club or something like that. So any expense that you incur to get your business name out there is going to be a write-off as well. Be liberal. Write it down and track it.
So you prepare taxes for people who are rideshare drivers. Tell me, people with non-driving side jobs, what can they learn tax lessons-wise from Uber and Lyft drivers? What are some of the deductions that people in those positions really enjoy?
The deduction there really affects Uber and Lyft drivers, as well as traditional business owners, is the auto deduction. Now, in Chinese nomenclature, it is the year of the pig this year. But I'll tell you, in America, it's the year of the auto. The auto deduction strategy has never been better. Under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the auto deduction got put on steroids. Literally since 1980s, this has been the best the auto deduction's ever been. So you really want to study the difference between mileage versus actual. And Uber and Lyft drivers, this is a big deal. You want to really look at what type of car did I buy, the cost, is it mileage more effective or actual? It's going to depend on your usage and all these little things. I've got YouTube videos on this and other ways you can learn about it. But even for a traditional business owner, you need to think of what's the best method for my auto deduction, because you're entitled to it. You're going to put miles on doing your business, so track it.
So whether you're a professional driver or not, and you use driving as part of your business, definitely make use of these auto-related deductions. Just explain for me mileage versus actual. What is that?
First, let's talk mileage. You have the 50, and this year it's 58 cents a mile is a deduction. The best ever. It's been 58 cents a mile. So if I drive 1,000 miles, I get a $580 deduction because of this 1,000 miles I drove for my business. You get 58 cents a mile, and you want to track those miles. Now, for some people that buy a more expensive car or maybe don't put on as much miles, but they still use the car predominantly for business, you're allowed to depreciate the car and then take your fuel, repairs, and maintenance. Now, let's use an example of Hawaii. I've got a lot of clients in Hawaii, and if I have a business owner over there that is not putting on a lot of miles because they're on an island, see what I mean? Well, we're going to want to go actual because we're just not burning as many miles. And so I'm going to get a better write-off doing fuel, repairs, and maintenance and a depreciation deduction that's been far better than ever before. But if I've got a client in the Midwest and they're burning 20,000 miles a year, maybe a realtor or a contractor or even an Uber driver, a lot of miles with a lower cost car, then they're going to get more bang for their buck with a mileage deduction. So you need to look at the variables, talk to your tax advisor, and in a few minutes, you can really nail down where you want to be on this.
Well, my next life, I want to be one of your clients in Hawaii.
Yeah. I agree. I go over there and do a workshop every year. It's tough. I mean, I really don't want to go, but I do it for you. So you can get a write-off to come over for that workshop. Just call me a giver.
All right. That is Mark Kohler on the line with us. He's author of The Tax and Legal Playbook, and he's good enough to be on the line with us here on Your Money Briefing. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And that's Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.